It is amazing what one solitary life can do. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Friday. TGIF, thank God it's Friday. You know every Friday can be a good Friday if you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you invite Him to your heart. He's not going to come into your heart if He's not welcome there. You got to invite Him in. Jesus is very respectful of free will. You have to accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, but you got to do it more than just with your lips. You got to do it with your whole body, with your whole life, with your actions. I know that's not easy. Because of original sin, we're all prone to sin. And talk is cheap. But you know what I do, and I have been doing so far this year? On Fridays, I've been celebrating the power of Jesus working in somebody's life. I do that with stories, with reflections, because it's Friday. Good Friday. God's Friday. The Friday that leads to Easter Sunday. Jesus walks out of the tomb, and what happens? All world history is turned upside down. All despair has been conquered. But you need Good Friday, or you won't have Easter Sunday. And Good Friday without Easter Sunday just leads to despair. Okay? Now, part of the problem for people, going all the way back to the time of Jesus, part of the problem in accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior has to do with expectations. At the time of Jesus, the Jewish people had a certain image of the way the Messiah would be, and Jesus did not conform with that image. We all know that, right? But what about in the times in which we live? Is there still the same problem? I think to a certain extent there is. I think that some people find the Jesus who walked this earth not a very appealing Messiah. Too weak, allowed himself to be killed, didn't come with the right pedigree. That's why what I want to share with you today, in case you still have to keep fine-tuning your image of who Jesus is and who He wants to be in your life, if you let Him, I want to share with you that famous writing, The Author is Unknown, and it's entitled One Solitary Life. The first time I saw this, I saw it on a Christmas card that somebody sent me many years ago. Quote, "He was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in still another village where he worked in a carpenter shop until he was 30. Then, for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family or owned a house. He didn't go to college. He never traveled 200 miles from the place where he was born. He did none of these things one usually associates with greatness. He had no credentials but himself. He was only 33 when public opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. He was turned over to his enemies and went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed to a cross between two thieves. When he was dying, his executioners gambled for his clothing, the only property he had on earth. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 19 centuries have come and gone, and today he is the central figure of the human race, the leader of mankind's progress. All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man on earth as much as that one solitary life. That's so well written, isn't it? It puts everything in perspective. It shows us how Jesus really influenced the world without doing the things that are usually associated with greatness. Now I ask you, dear listeners, are your expectations of Jesus such that you find yourself disappointed in Him? Did you want magic? Did you want fireworks? Did you want a power display? Did you want somebody to wave a magic wand or snap a finger and all the world became perfect instantaneously? I don't know if you ever saw the movie Bruce Almighty with James Carey in it. He gets to play God for a while. And he gets all these petitions sent to him. And he thinks he's doing the world a favor by pushing one button that answers everybody's prayers simultaneously, even including all the people who wanted to win the lottery. And so many won the lottery that their part of the lottery prize was minimal. And they were not happy campers. So depending on what your expectations are of God, of Jesus, you will find this write-up, One Solitary Life, attractive or not attractive. It's all about expectations, isn't it? So often that's the case. Do you recognize the name Cecil B. DeMille? Famous filmmaker in the 1900s, early part of the 1900s. Let me tell you a story that makes the point I'm trying to make. Cecil B. DeMille once told Billy Graham that his picture, The King of Kings, made during the silent movie era, was seen by an estimated 800 million people. And Billy Graham asked him why he did not reproduce The King of Kings with sound and color. He replied, "I will never be able to do it, because if I gave Jesus a southern accent, the northerners would not think of him as their Christ. If I gave him a foreign accent, the Americans and the British would not think of him as their Christ." Cecil B. DeMille said, "As it is, people of all nations, from every race, creed, and clan, can accept him as their Christ." Because in the silent movie, right? He doesn't say a word. But that's just another insight into our expectations on Jesus. Because expectations rule, right? They're what cause us to be happy if they're met, cause us to be sad if they're not met, cause us to even become angry. So it becomes very, very important for all of us to realize that Jesus will not come into our life on our terms. No, Jesus comes into our life on Jesus' terms. And that's where we have to be humble enough to say, "Okay, Jesus, I accept you as you are. I accept the way you work in my life, the way you want to work in my life. I accept the fact that our relationship will always be enveloped in mystery. That doesn't mean you're not there. That just means that the way you work will not always be apparent in my life. And that the prayers you want to answer may not always be the prayers that I consider of highest priority." We have to say to Jesus, especially on this Friday that we dedicate to the power, the grace, the miracles of Jesus, we have to say, "Jesus, help me to recognize the ways you work in my life. I believe you are always working in my life. I believe every breath I take is because of the way you work in my life." I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the program yesterday, but I talked about what is a soul. It's the life principle, right? And those of us who have been baptized, we say that the life principle, our soul, is now where God works, where Jesus dwells. Jesus said, "The Father and I will come and make our home in you." What a gift. Do you ever think about that? What a gift. The Father and Jesus want to make their home in us, in our soul, giving us the energy, giving us the fire, even on a Friday when by the time Fridays come, we're pretty tired, we're pretty exhausted. We don't feel all that energized. But yes, this Friday can be a tremendously good Friday for you. But it's all based on your relationship with Jesus. Even if you have real challenges today, even if you are feeling like you're running on empty, even if you don't feel like you have the capacity to take on today's challenges, you can. You can. Jesus will be there for you. Jesus will help you. Will you allow Jesus to do that? It's your call. Here's today's food for thought. It comes from Pierre Jean de Beringer. He writes, "Paradise is open to all kind hearts." Not all kind of hearts, all kind hearts, meaning all compassionate hearts, all merciful hearts, all loving hearts, all giving hearts, all generous hearts. And I think so. You know how I say it, and you may have heard me say it on the show? Heaven is the size of your heart. If you got a small, petty heart, you're never going to be able to fit into heaven. Now, who do I want you to pray for today? I want you to pray for school crossing guards. These are the people to whom we entrust our young people, our children, school-age children, as they cross busy intersections, as they cross in bad weather, as they cross with lots of traffic, as they cross with poor pavements or streets in disrepair. These are the people who often greet them, smile, make them laugh, show that they're important, that they're special. And so we pray, please God bless school crossing guards. Give them great ability to stay focused, because into their hands we place our most precious natural resources, our children. So I ask you, dear God, to bless school crossing guards. Amen. Today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. True story. Judy, my friend, was working at a Maine coastal resort when she answered a call for information about the inn. After finishing the conversation, Judy stepped away from the front desk. When the phone rang again, the student intern took the call. "I forgot to ask," the customer said, "how are the rooms appointed?" "Well, 6 of them are appointed west," the student answered, "and the rest are appointed east." No, I love that joke. Want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. Let me hear from you, okay? Send me your prayer intentions. Can you help me with my hospital for the poor in Oaxaca, Mexico? Make the check out to TASH. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And you can always visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful.